Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is Us Lifting Us, Dare to Win, Thursday evening broadcast. Can entrepreneurship and black capitalism be enough to solve African-American social economic problems? Can it produce the goods and services that are currently in scarce amount in black households? Can it escape its predatory and exploitative nature of labor that's found in the American capitalistic system? These and more topics to discuss on Dare to Win, Us Living, Lifting Us, Thursday evening broadcast. Stay tuned. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Good evening and welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday evening radio broadcast. My name is Brother Shabaka. I'm a board member of Us Lifting Us, Lulu, and your host for this evening's program. Joining me this evening is Brother Oshi, also a member of Us Lifting Us. All right, to join to tonight's conversation, just call 929-477-2789, and press 1 on your phone to either ask a question or make a comment. You can also reach us at our website, usliftingus.com, and if you wish to communicate or contact us, just dial for any information, dial 404-592-2 2780. Greetings, Brother Oshie, and welcome to Us Lifting Us, Dare to Win radio broadcast. And how are you doing and how are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling very well, Baba. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you this evening to talk about the economic situation in our community and in our world, in the African world. So I'm very happy to be here and to share with other listeners, and hopefully the other listeners will share with other brothers and sisters that we can make Us Lifting Us grow to what it should be.
Well, thank you very much for that, and hopefully we will have our participation from our listening audience. You know, as I said earlier during the broadcast, we see a lot of terminology that's thrown out, well, economically, capitalism, socialism, communism, a whole bunch of ism. All right. Of recent, you know, is the black capitalism or entrepreneurship that we see. And my thoughts are, can both of those entities be enough to solve African-American socioeconomic problems? What are your thoughts on those?
Well, understand that the system, the capitalistic system, is a predatory system. It is a system predicated on for a smaller group to have and a whole huge amount of wealth than the mass of people can have. You know, it's a usury kind of system. And we, as African, American Africans or black people, we have been designated as the permanent underclass. And so when you look at our economic situation, you know, in fact, one guy told me, he says, well, talking about middle class, and the brother said, well, I'm middle class. And I said, well, you know, there's a difference between what is middle class for Caucasians and what is middle class for us. Middle class for Caucasians is around about 150,000. Middle class for us is not almost half of that. So you can see the constant disparity. In fact, it was said that the economic disparity is so wide that it would take over 230 years of that gap being closed or any kind of economic equality. But that would mean that Caucasians' money would be frozen for that long, and we would get consistent raises in that time. And, of course, ain't none of that happening. So the economics of this country will always be, you know, skewed, will always be unequal. And that shows a lot of problems for us.
Yes, I see. So I guess from your comments that we can't depend on it to produce the goods and services that apparently appear to be scarce in our black households. So can you elaborate a little bit more? Why scarce? Why? Don't we have an even playing field? I mean, the black capitalists, don't they have the means to create jobs? Don't they have the means to produce? Don't they have the entrepreneurs? Don't they have the skills and energy and foresight to see the layers that are happening throughout the country to circumvent those things that impede our ability to grow? Can they provide the goods and services that we need so that we can flourish as a community? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't believe that it can. That's my contention, is that after hundreds of years of us being here, and particularly the last 50 years, just looking at the last 50 years of our situation, our situation, as far as I'm concerned, has worsened. When you look at, we have more elected officials. Everybody talks about voting, as if voting is a panacea, that voting will solve our problems. So you talk about voting. And yet we have more elected officials than we've ever had. But yet our condition collectively as a people is worse off today than it was 30 years ago. So I don't look at the entrepreneurial class, and I know I've been to a few wealth building meetings and seminars, and, you know, when people talk about, you know, building and wanting to be millionaires, you know, I don't think in a system like that, that where the individual is prized more so than the collective body, that that kind of system will work for us. And in fact, I know it will not work for us. It's anesthetic to who and what we are, but I know that there are groups that espouse that. You know, they have the, you know, I'm gonna say, you know, network marketing plan, and of course, in order for the network marketing plan to work for you, you have to be in a position where even though you may be under somebody, but a whole bunch of people have to be under you. And see, we that kind of system, somebody is definitely going to lose. Somebody's going to lose. And I propose that we look at a serious, viable alternative in us lifting us, pulling our monies together, making the sacrifice for the betterment of our people, our community, our situation. I look at that kind of concept to help produce goods and services and to assist us in our economic challenges that we have here. Because there are more and more people who are economically deprived in this country, and the majority of them are us. In fact, every social ill in this country is more profound in us than anybody else. When you look at health care, housing, education, employment, you know, our numbers are sad and pathetic. You know, look at imprisonment, the mass incarceration. They say that we're 13% of this country's population. But yet, you know, we're about 40%, over 30% rather, of the prison population. And of course, America imprisons more people than any country in the world. And some of these prisons are designed to make money. They were built to make money. I don't think that can be achieved. I understand, because, I mean, even at that, brother Shabaka, Baba Shabaka, you know, we don't have venture capitalists. We don't have a group of us who have access to a tremendous amount of wealth, tremendous amount of capital that can fund various projects, that can look at our situation in these major cities and say these individuals have put together an outstanding business plan. We're going to fund them. They're going to do some great things in a 2-3 year where they'll be able to employ 40-50 of our people in the community and be viable in the community. We don't have that. You know, we don't have that. And so our situation is dubious at best. We need a concept that UMU proposes.
I hear you, brother. 929-477-2789 if you wish to join the conversation. With your question or comment, Brother O.C. doesn't have very much faith that the black capitalists or entrepreneurs coming from, stemming from our communities can lead the way. Well, let me ask you, and I know that there is some figures that supports what you're saying. You know, I think right after the census in 2010, about 2 or 3 years after that, they averaged that 27% of the African-American population is below the poverty line. Now, that was back in 2012, and I'm sure if we look at 2018, those numbers might be even higher. White wealth as compared to black wealth, about $150,000 to $200,000 as compared to maybe $5,000, if that high, and that's back there during the same time. And those values for us have been decreasing, and decreasing for them too, but not to the extent that they have for the European population, descendant population here. All right, I see that we have a call. I'm a clicking on that call. Somebody wants to talk to you.
All right.
Listener, number ending in 4457, Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please? And please ask your question or make a comment of Brother Oshie.
All right. Good evening, brothers. My name is Abby O'Doon. I'm in New York City. I'm an ULU member.
Greetings.
How are you all?
Greetings, coming? Brother. Glad to have you join us.
Thank you very much.
You're doing fine.
Greetings.
Okay, Oshie. Greetings to you, sir. I have just two comments. First of all, I should hopefully have two or three people listening on the call tonight. I don't know. They keep telling me they're going to listen. You never know, right? I'm unable to have them in my house to listen because I'm like caught up in being hospitalized. However,
sorry to hear that, brother.
Thank you. I hope I'll be discharged soon. But anyway, in the meantime, two of the three people that I asked to listen in tonight are from the Black world overseas. And so far, when you led off with this show, there's been a lot of reference to America, 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 and I'm concerned about how we make sure the message gets out that we're international. And I think that since we only have an hour, some specificity has to be thrown in that direction so that we don't lose potential clout in that area. I had a conversation this morning with a full-fledged registered nurse from Ghana. She's about 40 years old, has three or four children. She's a grown husband and so forth. And she does not know who Marcus Garvey was. She lives right near where the Firestone thing is. She doesn't know what that is. And she says, well, I'm here in the United States because I have no faith in politics. So this is the kind of thing that we're up against, okay? Number two, having to do with the lack of entrepreneur class to put up their funds. I'm reminded of the fact, I just had this memory the other day, that there was a white boy in California named Michael Milken who was involved in stock market transactions, and he was trying to teach our folks how to raise capital based on manipulating the market. I read about him. I never met him or nothing. I never met anybody that went through his process. However, somehow, as he was getting up a little bit of a groundswell rhythm, he got himself arrested on some trumped-up charges. They stripped him of his credentials, and he did a couple of years in prison. And I'm like, I just can't believe how they just came and blindsided him solely because he was trying to help us. But more importantly, we now have a whole class. They may only be, I don't know, 5,000 strong or something, who you might call a gladiator class. This gladiator class of brothers who earned their living in one of the major sports agendas, football, baseball, basketball kind of thing. And a lot of them make a lot of money. And that perhaps we need to consider some efforts on our part to meet with those brothers and get them to pool their resources with each other and then perhaps approach organizations like us or vice versa kind of thing. Okay, those are my two or three incredible points tonight. All right. All right. So I'm going to tune out now.
Thank you, brother.
And your comment. All right.
Thank you so much for that. Yeah, we really appreciate that. And Brother Oshie, he made some suggestion there. What's your feeling on that? Why don't you answer that, and then we'll take a station break. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I know that I, along with many of us, would wish that our intelligentsia, our political class, economic brothers and sisters, all of it would come together and develop a program with the idea of helping our people. But understand, we're in America, and America's about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. It was that way since its inception. And so those individuals who are in professional sports particularly, or even in the entertainment industry, you know, it's all about what's in it for me. How can I get mine? How can I get over? Because if it wasn't, the Colin Kaepernick situation should have been more solidly behind him. In fact, if brothers were solidly behind him, there would have been anything that the NFL could have done, but relent because the vast majority of the players in the NFL are us, about 70%. So, you know, there is a fear that we have in this country, unfortunately, a fear about upsetting Caucasians, a fear about doing something that we fear that they will not like, or some, and then suffer some kind of retribution because of it. And so, therefore, we don't even discuss it. We don't even challenge it. That's why I'm very proud to be a ULU member, to even openly state that we want to create an alternative economic system, you know, because this current economic system run by Europeans, you know, just like when Muammar Gaddafi proposed to develop a currency for Africa, a gold dinar. Muammar Gaddafi was not killed by the United States and Europe because he was a evil dictator. I would say, if anything, he was a benevolent dictator. He was somebody who really looked out after the well-being of the people of Libya, and that's documented. But yet when he came up with this currency, all of this misinformation and disinformation and all our lies about him was disseminated over the airways to garner some sustained hatred towards Muammar Gaddafi to justify killing him and developing a regime change. And now look at Libya today. Look at the chaos and the madness that goes on in Libya, where they're selling our people. Some of our people are being castrated to be sold to Arab individuals and so forth. And they're selling. I mean, the bottom line is that I wish athletes and entertainers could come together, because they do have them. They have more money than anybody else. You know, I don't know of any industrialists, and maybe some of our listeners might know some industrialists. I mean, like here in Atlanta, one of the big developers was Herman Russell. He died some years ago. I'm not sure who the big developers here in Atlanta are that are up. Although I do know that, you know, even though we are in high places, although I do know there are some dark faces in high places, but yet Caucasians still run this. Caucasians still run Atlanta. And the gentrification, especially where I live in Atlanta, is happening big time. So, you know, I would hope that that could happen, but I don't see it happening anytime soon.
929-477-2789. Press 1 on your phone to ask a question or to extend a comment. We're going to take a station break, and when we come back, we will ask Brother Olson whether if the capitalists, our black entrepreneurs, are insufficient, if our black developers are not providing the kinds of jobs that we need, find themselves forced to hire other folks who are not black African descendants, then what can we do in order to change this course of action? So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with you in 2 minutes. Welcome back. Our number for you to call in if you have questions is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Press 1 on your keypad and ask your question or make a comment. Brother Oshie, you said before we took the break, you know, that, you know, you see certain things happening, and you chose to talk about Atlanta, you know, some of the developments, some of the things that you observe about black entrepreneurship and what might be appeared, people in high places, but you don't see the people in high places doing anything that seem to be benefiting the majority of us. So let me ask you this. Do you believe or do you see or suspect that even our entrepreneurs, our black so-called capitalists, are using the same kind of predatory or exploitative behavior, you know, of capital, of labor that you see being manifested in the general population by European capitalists? What's your take on that?
To that, unequivocally, yes. But I want to go back to the caller, and I'm going to get back more to that subject in a minute, Baba. But I want to get back to the caller. He asked about, you know, we're talking about America. We're not talking about, you know, the diaspora. We're not talking about other brothers and sisters around the world and on the continent. And I agree, because to me, the real key for Africa and for Africans, you know, is that coming together and pulling those resources. The real key, imagine if Africans on the continent and Africans in the diaspora would begin to make this link, would begin to trust one another, respect one another, support one another, and be willing to put the resources together to change the dynamic in the world in terms of goods and services, to be able to provide goods and services for our people. I love that idea. That's why I love the concept of us lifting us, where we are a collective. It's not just, there's no one person or no one group, there's no one family, there's no one. No, it is us. And we all share in this. We all sacrifice to make this happen. So I'm definitely supportive of us as a people, no matter where we are, who can afford to. If it's in the South America, Caribbean, Central America, Europe, wherever on the continent, that we come together and make that happen. So, you know, I know we talk about America. That's what we're most familiar with. Now, you asked the question about American African or black capitalism. And capitalism, I'm looking at it this way, Baba. Capitalism is capitalism. The whole idea is for the capitalist to have at the expense of everybody else. The idea of capitalism is not a shared idea. It is a selfish, greedy concept. And that's why I was on a radio program last weekend while I was in Milwaukee, and Caucasian called in espousing the goodness of capitalism. Even though he only makes $50,000 a year, he's happy the fact that he's doing that and doesn't care less about the billions of dollars that are being made by individuals and families in this country at the expense of him. Because when you are fed an ideology of individualism, materialism, greed, and violence, you're only thinking about yourself. You don't care what happens to anybody else. I got mine, get yours. And if you can't get yours, it's your fault. And if I got to take yours, hey, so be it. That's the kind of mentality that is there. And that's the kind of situation that we as American Africans or black people cannot achieve, cannot overcome. We must embrace a concept of shared revenue, of collective good for us. We must embrace that. because capitalism, well, it by its very nature is exploitive. By its very nature, it finds ways to misuse people. It finds ways to exploit resources. It's because of capitalism we have the weather situation that we have, the extreme weather situation that we have. And yet, even today, when it's all known by all the climate scientists and so forth, they still want to believe that it's a hoax. And Trump rescinded some of the environmental protections that were issued in the Barack administration to release the ease on emissions and so forth. This is crazy, but it's all about money. They don't give a damn about the planet. They don't give a damn about other human beings. It's all about short-term gain, and I don't care about the long-term effect. I would never forget about reading about this about 30-something years ago, and it's come to fruition. I remember when Jimmy Carter, before he left the White House, he had put solar panels on the White House. And the first thing that Ronald Reagan did when he took office was take them down. And then, of course, put big money into the oil barons. And then, of course, later the oil company bought out solar and wind and just kind of, you know, chilled it out. So you didn't hear a lot of stuff. But yet it was still happening. The planet was still going through the kind of climatic changes that we are seeing today. And even though we call it global warming and somebody said, well, it's real cold, what this weather condition is because of this capitalistic greed is weather extreme. They're talking about Hurricane Lane in the Pacific about to do some serious damage to the Hawaiian Islands. And, of course, other hurricanes will be coming this way doing devastating damage. So, I mean, there is no doubt that some sanity must come to the planet, and the economic sanity that comes to the planet is a concept like us lifting us, where we pool monies together, pool resources together, pool talents and so forth together to do a better job, to create a better situation for ourselves and our family and our world.
Thank you, brother. 929-477-2781. Press 1 on your dial to ask a question or make a comment. I see that we have a caller on the line. Caller, tell us your name and where you're calling from. Last four digits is 2479. You're on the air.
Hey, greetings, family. It's Brother Madike here calling.
Brother Madike!
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Peace. I'm good. I'm very good. Appreciating the conversation. Saying hello to all my brothers and sisters in the United States and in the diaspora.
Let me say where Brother Madike is calling from, Ireland. And the brother is on the air, want to participate. Brother Madike, go ahead and make your comments, please. And he's also a member of the board of ULU.
That's right.
Go ahead, brother.
That's right.
Yeah. I just want to remind everybody that capitalism is cannibalism. Capitalism is cannibalism. Capitalism is based on a caveman mentality that has main goal to eat and suck the blood of people. The more blood you eat and you consume, the more you are able to sustain. This system is based on killing people, exploiting them, their time, their energy, their resources. And at the forefront of the people being exploited are our people, very much.
Thank you, Brother Madike. You know,
thank you very much.
Yes, as he was saying
ahead,
that, I was thinking of how the system of capitalism operates for those who have the benefit of of its control, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the international bankers, that 10% of the people who dominate and control about 80% of the world's wealth, and of that 10%, the 1% of the multi-billionaires who determine, basically, just as Brother Madike said, who lives or dies, and the greatest sacrifice is us. In fact, because Caucasians are experiencing negative population growth, for every two that die, only one is born. And this is happening globally. And so what they're doing, of course, is trying to establish some honorary Caucasian people, bringing like Syrians into Europe, because to help work, because a lot of the populations in some of the countries like Germany and so forth, the population is so much older. The average age of those populations are in the 40s, the mid upper 40s. And so bringing the Syrians in, obviously they're not dark skinned, so that might not be a problem for them, you know. So that's what's happening. But yet they still want to control the population of other people, particularly our people. I saw an article from the one of the British royals. I even hate to say British royal. They ain't royal. They're a bunch of lion thieves. But he was talking about controlling Africa's population in the article, saying that if this is not checked, if we don't put a check on Africa's population, they will populate to the extent that there would not be any resources, there will be deeper famine and so forth and so on. Now, the reality is Africa has all that it needs. Africa has all that it needs to feed itself. You know, I have a radio program, and I end the program with the words of Stephen Biko: the most potent weapon in the hand of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. But not just the M-I-N-D, but also the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources. There are more resources still after hundreds of years of European plunder and Arab plunder and thievery. Still, Africa has more resources than any other part of the world. And under the feet of African people lies all those resources that we should and must control. And imagine if we did.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. I hear you. Thank you so much for that. 929-477-2789. Press 1 on your dial. Ask a question and or make a comment. We have to take a very quick break. I see that the phone lines are lining up. 5080, we'll contact you right after the break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Welcome back to Dare to Win. Ulu Economic Empowerment Program radio broadcast. We have one caller, and caller on last extension 5080. We'd like to hear from you. Give us your question or comment, please.
Yeah, this is Akima calling from Atlanta. Just wanted to chime
brother,
in.
Baba.
Good.
Hey, Baba.
Good. And it was always good hearing Madike's voice. And, of course, he's calling from Ireland, but Senegal is home for him. But the whole notion of predatory capitalism, I think that a good many of our people are involved in entrepreneurship out of pure survival. A lot of the jobs that many of us had expected to be in place are not in place. And so we're forced to survive. We're forced to hustle, so to speak. And even though we'll go down and take out a license and establish a LLC or a C-Corp or S-Corp, you know, it's simply, in many of the cases, is pure survival for us. So I don't think many of the brothers and sisters who are involved in entrepreneurship and quote-unquote black capitalism are predators. They may end up from time to time involving themselves in predatory practice, but we almost don't have a choice. We've got to survive, and so we do what we do to survive. And I think the main thing that I would encourage us to do is while we are doing whatever we have to do, whether we're on a JOB or whether we're in business for ourselves or work for government or in the military, wherever we happen to be, I just encourage us to consider that there is a way out of our predicament. That's not traditionally what we would call capitalism, not traditionally what we would call socialism, but it's based on group ownership and a cooperative model. So if nothing else, I want brothers and sisters who come to this call to know that our primary offer to our community is a new model, a different way of approaching commerce and business that's family-centered as opposed to individually-centered. And, of course, it's not easy to wrap our minds around that concept, but I think the challenge that we want to beg, you know, and encourage our people to wrap our minds around, to consider, is Ulu's family-centered economic empowerment plan. It's embodied in our 10-point appealing plan, and there are other elements of our website that explore that. But again, I just want us to and encourage us to have the courage to consider and look aggressively at a third way, another way of doing business in our community that, again, that is family-centered, group-owned, and has the very good potential as we scale it up to put billions and tens of billions of dollars and hundreds of billions of dollars in the hands of African people who have a desire to do, from a commercial standpoint, what is in the interest of our people and the planet. Thank you.
Ashe.
Thank you very much, Baba.
Yeah. Thank you, Baba. And Baba.
Go ahead, brother.
Baba's schema is most correct in terms of what our people are just trying to do in order just to survive. But it is a capitalistic system, you know, and that system in and of itself, by its very design, is for a few to make a lot at the expense of everybody else. Damn, you're making nothing, you know. It's a predatory system. And so I would agree with Baba that really take a look at Us Lifting Up. Go to our website, usliftingup.com. Look at our 10-point program and appeal,
become a member of Us Lifting Us. Go on the website. Look at the number of people who have already become members. I believe it's over 600 in growing. You know, go to the website or go to our cafe. We have demonstrated that what can be done when we pull our monies together. We put our energy and monies together to create Cafe Ulu. We have a coffee house right in the city of Atlanta, 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza. Our coffee house is open every Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. But more importantly, you can call or go online and help support Cafe Ulu. If you are a member on this call, I would suggest and plead to you to do a few things. One, see if it's possible that you can buy a share, that you can get a share, which is $1,000, whether you could do it $100 a month or $50 a month, or however how it can be, that you can get a share. Also, too, go on the website Cafe Ulu, CafeUlu.com, and buy some coffee. Buy some of the other things that we offer. Everything that is offered at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. There's a brother who has a delicious drink, Ambrosia. Brother Novak is outstanding right there in Atlanta. There's a brother and his two daughters who developed some potato chips, you know, that we sell right there at Cafe Ulu. All of the pastries and wraps that we have are done and produced by us. Clearly, we are doing what we say we must do, and that is pull our resources and do for ourselves. And I'm hoping that brothers and sisters will grasp the concept and tell others to do the same. This is family-centered economics. I know the Us Lifting Us is in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, but we like to call it family-centered economics, where we work with one another, we pull our monies together, you see. So, you know, it's unfortunate that not a lot of people have heard about us. The brother mentioned about the sister, the previous caller mentioned about the sister who has no idea who Marcus Garvey was or any idea of other people of in our history. We are ignorant, you know, but ignorance is not a bad thing. Ignorance is simply absence of knowledge. And what we have to do is impart new knowledge. Yes, you know, there's a lot of us who have no idea, but we must continue to strive to do this, to build this, get other coffee houses around the country. Also, too, the vision, which, you know, was first spoken about with Ulu, was to develop a mall, a mart, where in that large area there will be multiple number of businesses and entities that support us, you know, and that provides jobs for our people, you know. So, I mean, this concept I seriously support, and I'm hoping that other brothers and sisters get that word out, and they begin to support it. I mean, $50 a year is all that it takes. But, of course, as we all know, $50, you know, and just to be a member is not much. But we need your help. We need your help financially to help this thing grow. We're encouraging you to take out a share, $1,000 share or more. I got one, I'm going to get another one. I believe in what we're doing. You know, I don't look at the possibilities of being paid back anytime soon, but that's not the reason. The reason is to develop this concept and then have others look at it and then join in and develop it across this country and around this world. In the Caribbean, imagine if we embrace this kind of concept in other areas where our people are predominant and where we have some businesses, and even those businesses support this concept. Because you can have a business, you know, mom and pop stores or whatever kind of business, and still be a member of ULU. And,
right,
and
thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
No, I was just saying, I'm hoping that others understand that, embrace that, and share that. That's what I want to say.
All right, thank you so much. 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Press 1 on your pad and, you know, ask a question or give your comment. We are winding down, so I'd like to ask you, because you got into the membership thing, maybe you could explain to the listening audience about our strategic growth plan, if you could do that, Brother Oshie.
Well,
this is Brother Sabaka with
not,
Brother Oshie.
I am not that keen on it. If Baba Akima is still on the line, that maybe Baba Akima can bring more light to that particular subject. If Baba Akima is still on
okay,
the line.
Baba Akima, are you still there?
Is Baba Akima still there?
Well, let me take a stab at it. We have
sure.
a strategic growth program. All right. Our objective is to try to get at least 1,000 new members, 1,000 new members by March of 2019. That's 1,000 new members. And by 2020, a year after that, 1,000 ownership units. All right. So 1,000 new members by 2019, March of 2019. And by 2020, 1,000 ownership units. And Brother Oshie had mentioned to you about the units as its cost. And so what that would do is increase our capabilities, all right, to identify and nurture and develop new businesses. We have Cafe ULU that he already told you about there. That came out of members pooling their resources together and utilizing those resources to start that business, all right? And now we're in the process of thinking where to expand Cafe ULU because we see it as being extremely successful, all right? And so we want to expand it on the east side of Atlanta. Do we want to take it to other cities? Well, all of those are up for questions. And do we want to develop other businesses? Well, that's the whole objective. Brother Oshie had told you about the mall that we would like to develop. Well, that's still in the planning. So 1,000 new members by 2019, March of 2019, 1,000 new business units by March of 2020. That is our objective, and right now we are motivated, we are determined, we have the vision, we have the personnel, and we're moving forward on that. We'd like you to join us. If you're a member or a listening audience who is not a member, we want you to become a member. If you're a member or you're not a member and you live in the Atlanta area, we'd like you to visit Cafe ULU so you can see what pooling of our resources have produced and is producing. All right? Meet people coming from different states, different areas of the country. I'm from Baltimore. In fact, I'm talking to you now from Baltimore. All right, but I've been down to Cafe ULU twice. We'll be there probably the end of next month, and probably after that. So we're very confident. We're very proud of this, and we want to pool our resources. Baba, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I guess.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Baba. Continue.
Well, you're hitting the, as the cliche goes, the proverbial nail on the head with what you're talking about in our campaign, you know, to get the word out, to get more members, target numbers over a period of time. It's the things that we have to do. I know one thing that we must do, and that is support Cafe Ulu. You know, that's why I'm saying that even though you're not here in Atlanta, you can still support Cafe Ulu by going to the website, CAFEULU.com, and look at the website, buy some coffee. I know the Cameroon Bojo is my favorite. It's a delicious coffee. I drink coffee black. So if you're a black coffee drinker, you'll like this coffee. It is tremendous. But we also have Tanzanian, Kenyan, Ethiopian. We also have Brazilian and Panamanian. And we have loose teas that are produced by a company in Atlanta. You know, delicious teas. So my contention is when you think about what we are doing, what we have done, it can be done in your city if members in your community pull their resources together and come with us. Get together with us so we can have a Cafe Ulu in Chicago and Dallas and D.C., Baltimore, New York, but also begin to build on the ultimate goal of having a mall where in that mall all the businesses are owned and operated by us, and we provide jobs for our people, jobs for our – I mean – it's going to be imperative that we do this, really, because as this situation worsens, and it is, what are our people going to do? Where are their jobs? You know?
Right,
now,
brother. And yeah, go ahead, brother. Make your point.
You know,
we're getting ready to wind down. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I know. What I was saying is that, you know, Trump touted the unemployment of us. The lowest unemployment, that's such a fallacy, it's ridiculous. But, of course, there are some of us who believe that, you know, believe that Donald Trump helped create the lowest unemployment since our enslavement, since we had 100%, you know. But the reality is that number is dependent upon the people who are looking for work, who register with the Bureau of Labor. That's where that comes from. And the fact that we have so many of our people who have dropped out, who are not looking, or who are just going day to day, who are devising other means of trying to survive. So,
yeah, thank you, brother. We get ready. We only got a couple more minutes left. I'm sorry and apologize for cutting in on you. But as the brother says, you can't believe the media. If you wish to participate in this growth campaign that we have, you can go to the website or you can call us at 404-592-2780. That's 404-592-2780. If you are a member and you would like to participate in this broadcast, come and host the program sometime. Please give us a call. Tell us your interest. We'll gladly welcome you. And that's 404-592-2780. Until then, I'd like to say goodbye to Brother Oshi, Brother Madike, who called in, Baba Hakima. Appreciate all of you in your contributions. We'll see you next week. And don't forget, we dare to win. Us Lifting Us will be on next Thursday at 9 o'clock to bring you another episode and hopefully a provocative and interchanging exchange between us and you. Take care.
Peace, family.